A Thanksgiving Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Ram, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan on November 28, 1985, entitled God's Strategy for a New World. The readings for the sermon are from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, and Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5.
Copyright Grand Valley State University.
For those of you who are visiting with us today, we for several weeks have been looking at the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Those 11 chapters are like a preface to the one story of the Bible, which is the story of how God has set about to create a new world. The creation of a new world because the old world was fouled up, messed up, and in a hopeless condition. The first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis document the hopelessness of the human situation. The first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis document that the possibilities for human renewal and redemption and the renewal of the earth do not lie within the possibility of human capacity. Time after time, reinforcing the truth, the point is made. There is something wrong in us. It's not wrong in creation. It's not wrong with God. It's wrong with us. There's a mystery of evil in the human heart that always seems to make the wrong choice. And the Bible has stated it, and human history has documented it. And it would be a superficial optimist indeed that would look to human history for the possibility of human salvation. No hope. The 12th chapter of the book of Genesis begins the one story of the Bible, God setting about to build a new creation. The strategy for God's new world is the calling of a person that becomes a nation, that issues in the Savior, who calls a people to bring to the whole world the good news of God's grace and love. Genesis 12 is the first chapter of the story of God's movement to recreate that which He created and we fouled up. And in that call of Abraham to take the risk of faith and to leave everything familiar, and to go out to a place that he knew not, there was the promise of the blessing of God. But before I focus on that promise, let me show you an amazing biblical truth, which should say concisely what we've been saying all these weeks. In order to lead up to Abraham, we have the table of nations. And then it comes down in the last paragraph of the 11th chapter to the family of the descendants of Terah. Terah was the father of Abram. Now we are focusing on one family. We are moving from that broad perspective of the whole of creation to that narrow focus on one family. And we focus even more sharply to one person. That person is Abram. And if we can anticipate, this is the Abraham who on a starry night will hear the voice of God saying, Abraham, do you see the stars of the heaven? Your descendants will be like the stars of the heaven. Abraham, have you ever counted the sands of the seashore? Your seed will be like the sands of the seashore. This man, who will receive the promise of a host of descendants, and the promise of a land, and the promise of a future, this man now becomes the sharp focus of the movement of God's Word. And Abraham is given a wife. And in the 11th chapter and the 30th verse, the most amazing possible thing is said about the wife of this man. You know what it says? Sarah was barren. Sarah was barren. Now, isn't that just like God? To give to a man a promise of seed and marry him to a woman who's barren. Isn't it just like God? Not only to make that promise to Abraham and to Sarah, but then to make them wait and wait and wait some more until finally Abraham's at a point in life where he hardly has an exciting thought anymore. And Sarah's womb is like a shriveled prune. Now God can begin to do His thing. If you didn't hear the hopelessness of the human condition in those first 11 chapters, then hear the hopelessness and the barrenness of Sarah's womb. God will begin again. He called creation into being, and something went desperately wrong. But He didn't give up. He promised not to abandon His world. He said, I'll begin again. I'll do a new thing. And He called Abraham. But just in case Abraham could puff himself up and think there was something in him with which God could begin anew, in order to turn things around, God married him to a barren woman so that the child of promise eventually was a child of miracle, was literally a resurrection from the dead. God has a strategy for a new world. The strategy for a new world is to bring the human family to the point of recognition of its own hopeless condition, and then with His powerful word creating life out of death. He called a man and a woman and their son and son's son, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, from which we receive Jesus, from whom we stem. God has a strategy for a new world, and it is us. And He's been about it down through all these centuries. When He determined not to abandon His creation, but to stay with it, and to be persistent in His grace, moving it down through generations and centuries, until in the fullness of time He made that dramatic move in Jesus, and now has called us into being, waiting for that next dramatic move, when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. God has been everlastingly at it. He has a strategy for a new world, and it is us. For in His call to Abraham, He said, I will bless you, and in you all families of the earth will be blessed. We are God's instrument for the renewal of the world. And obviously there is no better way to say thanks to God than to get on with His purposes. There is no better way to express our gratitude and simply to respond to the creative intentions of our God, to get with the program, to get on with the work. God has a strategy for a new world, and it is us. It is Harry and Janet Pulfall going to India, building a church where the gospel can be proclaimed and the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ can illumine lives and bring healing and wholeness to those who live in the pessimism and despair of the human condition. We have a message to share with the world. For so much of the world takes the world as it is, and either says with inordinate pride, whatever will be because we construct it, having no room, no knowledge of the God who creates newness. Or saying this is the way it is and this is the way it will always be, and therefore becoming despairing with a sense of futility. Either the pride that says we have to build the brave new world, or the despair that says no newness is possible, both of them are outlawed by the creative word of God, who says, when you are convinced of your human inability, then I will raise the dead, then I will do a new thing, then I will create that kingdom that shall never pass away. And we're the people that know that, that understand that. We're the people who have been blessed to be a blessing. God did not choose one man in order to forget all men. He chose one man in order to reach all people. He chose one nation, not to the exclusion of other nations. He chose one nation in order to reach all nations. God had a particular focus in order to effect a universal purpose, which was to bring the whole world into a harmony of the light and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God has a strategy for a new world. It is you and I. And therefore, we are concerned about the hungry. Therefore, we give of our offerings. We feed the poor. We're concerned about world hunger. And we're concerned that the darkness and pessimism and despair of those who know only the human condition and its impossibility might hear that brand new word of a new world created by the gracious God, who has said He will never abandon us and will continue to move and work all things to the end of His purpose of love, when we shall stand all together in His eternal brightness. God has a strategy for a new world. And in response to His so great salvation, we become the people who offer ourselves and all that we are and all that we have at His disposal, believing that to respond to His call is to know the fullness of life. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever one sows, he will also reap. Let us therefore sow seeds of gospel light and the goodness and grace and mercy of God, that there may be a great harvest around the whole world, all to the praise of Jesus Christ. Amen.